Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Tonight on the show, the Vancouver-based band Red Haven. Stay tuned. I'm speaking with Red Haven's Jennifer Charters, who's the vocalist and also plays some wind instruments in the band, Brendan Steele, who's a backup vocalist and guitarist, Nathan Turner, who's the bassist and vocalist, and Blake, who's the drummer. So you can go see them in Ridgeway Town Park, July 7th. So that's a free concert. Welcome to Talkin' Music, you guys, and welcome to Paonia.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. So how did you even get connected with us in our little tiny towns out here in Western Colorado?
That would be thanks to Mr. Rob Miller from Pickin' Productions. We met him out in Toronto. We were at a folk music conference. Folk Music Canada puts on a conference. They take every room up in a big hotel and people do showcases. And we ran into Rob in the morning. We went for burritos. And
well, he must have really liked you.
Yeah. Well, we managed to convince him to come to our showcase, and he showed up and apparently liked us. And he told us we had a show if we could book a tour around it. And then it was only down to booking the tour on our way here.
So. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. He knows what we like over here. We appreciate it. Not everybody has somebody in their town just like bringing amazing music there consistently. So we're lucky to have him. So I wanted to talk about the inspiration for this band, which you say on your website, it says that you took a trip to New Orleans in 2014 and just got inspired by what you saw there. And so you weren't in a band before that, or how did that all happen?
Well, Brendan and I started dating shortly before we went down to New Orleans. I was playing in a band called Blackberry Wood, and it was a really sort of circusy band with costumes. Blake used to play in it too, which is how we know each other. And Brendan and Nathan played in a band called Flip the Canoe, which was more sort of indie rock. And Brendan and I started dating, and we knew that we were both musicians. We liked what each other did, but we really didn't know how to combine the sound because we had circus and indie rock, and those two seemed really far away from each other at the time until we went to New Orleans. And I know you don't, it doesn't seem, I mean, it's not really circusy and it's not really indie rock, but it just blends all these different Americana genres together in this way that was really inspiring for us. And the fun that people were having playing, it was super inspiring. And so after we came back, we learned a bunch of those swing tunes together. And it was really the catalyst for a lot of the songs that we started writing. And Nathan joined the band and shortly after that as well. And he brought a bunch of new sort of, what kind of style would you say you have, Nathan?
Folk and blues
to it, and that kind of gave us this weird amalgamation of circus slash swing slash like gypsy slash folk that we have now.
Yeah, so pretty much if you like any kind of music, you might hear a little of it in Red Haven.
Yeah. Well, that's what we hope.
But it doesn't seem, it seems like it all makes sense together. Absolutely. So you guys are all from Canada, yeah? From Vancouver?
Vancouver, yes.
All right. So I read a little bit about how you produced the album Vilified. And so you spent 3 weeks tucked away in a tiny mountain town in an artist in residency program. Can you tell me about that?
There's a festival in the town. Basically, in the winter, the population of Wells, BC, is about 250. And they host a festival called Arts Wells Festival. And I've been probably 8 years in a row now. The entire city becomes the festival. So the venues are dotted around all, like the theater and the community center and downstairs of the community center, all over everywhere. And so, you know, the town blooms from 250 to 4,000 during the festival. And it's all run by this organization called Island Mountain Arts. And so Island Mountain Arts started an artist residency program the year that we played at Artswells. And they announced it they bought this big building that had rooms, and so we contacted them about doing it, and we ended up being the first band that was accepted to be artists in residence at Wells for the Island Mountain Arts community. And so they let us rent the church for the whole month for a discounted rate, and we stayed in this really beautiful little apartment and hung out in Wells in the middle of winter and recorded this album.
Oh, wow. Mm. And so I would imagine when you're doing something like that, you're feeling the, not pressure, but just like, I am here to create, I'm here to get something done.
Yeah. So until the power goes out.
Which it does often in Wells. Wells is kind of like on the lowest, priority of any town in the area. So, the power goes out, they're the last ones to get it back. So there was no power for 3 days. We went out to the local bar down, 45 minutes down the way, and we're editing in the corner next to the pool table.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They're friends, so.
Yeah, nice. So, I saw too that you created like a huge amount of music in this process, like 25 to 30 songs. And of course, you can't put 25 to 30 songs on a CD. Are there, so when you look back on what didn't make it, is there a song that you're kind of like, well, that has to go on the next one or something? Mm-hmm. That's like the one that got away.
Well, today Brendan wanted to bring back an old song, and really there's always someone in the band that's like, no, not having it.
we have a, it's not a democracy. It's more of a,
you got to convince the other person.
It's like a cooperative. We all have to agree or else nothing gets done. Uh-huh. So
like a universal veto.
Yeah.
We all have veto power.
Well, let's hear a song off Vilified. This song is called Glass House. I really love the soul that is present in this. Not necessarily as the genre of soul music, but just, yeah, you got a lot of soul going on in your vocals.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to hear Glass House. Is there a story behind this song?
Oh, everyone asks me. I honestly ask myself this question all the time when I sing it. It's like, why do these words even really mean? It was more kind of this, I just kind of blanked my mind and wrote to this melody that I had in my head, and it's kind of what came out. It was inspired by the song Come Together, which to me doesn't make any sense, and I really love it. I love that the words don't make any sense, so I thought, like, what if I wrote a song like that? And this has kind of got that.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense.
No.
What are those lyrics?
Here come old Blacktop, he come grooving out slowly. He got juju eyeballs, he won holy roller. He got hair down to his knees. Got to be good looking, you just do what you please. It's so good.
It's excellent.
Yeah,
but it's sort of this anthem in a way of like, coming together when really it's just total nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, thanks for
thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, I never.
I don't
really
think it ruins it. I think it makes it better.
No. Yeah.
It's people sing along and they don't even realize that the words don't make sense.
Because it kind of means something to me. Glasshouse means something to me. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've looked at the lyrics and it kind of made something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. The chorus kind of supposed to mean like, it's kind of like this. Poetry is supposed to be like trying to be to break out into the world and be understood, but it can't be mm-hmm. in the way that it means to me. It's going to mean something different to everyone. And so, yeah, it's supposed to be like, everyone's looking at me singing this and no one gets it the way that I do, but they get it in their own way.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right. I had one time I was interviewing a musician and I asked him about a song that was on his album. And I was just trying to dig a little bit deeper and find out more about it. And he goes, it's just a dirty little rock song. Like,
yeah.
Because I think sometimes people add a whole lot of meaning to things that isn't present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not with that intention anyway.
Yeah, but yeah. It takes on that. That's what music is supposed to do, though. It's supposed to take on meanings for different people. That's why it's a powerful.
Yeah.
That's why art's awesome, because
To get
something that means nothing to the writer can mean everything to the reader or the listener.
Raindrops on the bed of my hair. Well, I could close you down quickly with just a flick of my fingers, and I could lay you down, watch you digging holes in the stair. But I am living in a glass house that nobody can see, and I am writing for a paper that nobody can read. No, I won't ask for nothing until the day I can breathe. No. No. Two cats dying on the edge of the road, curling up quiet while their vision explodes. And won't you lend me your number? It's such a discolored fraction. And I will write to you a letter about the wonders that you owe. And I am living in a glass house that nobody can see. And I am writing for a paper that nobody can read. And no, I won't ask for nothing until the day I can breathe. No. No. Well, the road's falling red in the cracks of the streets, and you are giving me a look that says I got to retreat. But no, I won't ask for nothing, just to give me up something that you can't hide away behind your eyes like a creep. And won't you lie down, baby? Yeah, I know who you are.
Don't you lie down, baby? I don't know who you are.
And won't you cry now, baby? Show me some affection, and I will write you a letter about your massive attraction.
I'm here with the band Red Haven, and I'm just trying to get some information about another song that I heard of yours called Middle of the Night. I love this song because there's a beatboxer in there. Who's your beatboxer?
Oh, Betha.
Beth, yeah.
Beth from Dirty Grace.
Yeah, no, I think actually I do the beatboxing of that, the top of that one, the top of the song, right? That's me beatboxing.
Finally, you get some credit for this.
Inspired by Beth, though, nonetheless.
Nice. Is there a story behind that song?
Basically, it's about my partner, Logan. She sings it with me on both records. And we basically, when our band started, Logan and I lived in Tofino, which is, on the west coast, far west coast of Vancouver Island, and it's like the only place in that you can surf near Vancouver, or one of the only places. And so we lived out there together, and then I moved back to Vancouver and we started a band, and she went and moved to, well, she went traveling in Peru for, well, South America and Peru for about 6 months. And the song basically was written as kind of just missing somebody and wanting them around again. Yeah.
It's sweet. Okay, well, let's hear that song. This is Middle of the Night.
She warm you up, a cold dark night when the stars are out. She's a lazy day. She's got her own way. She's a wonderful love, an instant smile when I'm all fed up. She's the sweetest taste. She's the sweetest taste. In the middle of the night, holding me tight, but I can't feel her hands on me, her hands on me. She's a fighter, she's likely to win. A crackling fire when the lights are dim. She's a wandering cold hands beneath my shirt. She's the fly, you know that I'm the dirt. I'm gonna miss her now. I'm gonna miss her now. In the middle of the night, I can feel her body. Nothing's holding me tight. Holding me tight, but I can't feel her hands on me, her hands on me. In the middle of the night, I can feel her body. Nothing's holding me tight, but I can't feel her hands on me, her hands on me.
I'm here with Red Haven.
We learned accordion when I was picking apples in Naramata, and there was an accordion kind of sitting around the house that we were staying at. I didn't have much to do, I guess. I had just recently left Blackberry Wood, and so I was kind of between bands, so to speak, and there was an accordion there that no one was really playing, so I started picking it up, and then for my next, was it Christmas? For the next Christmas, Brendan bought me the one that I have now, huh. And that's when we started writing songs on it.
It's interesting to think about how many people probably started playing an instrument just because it was sitting there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a whole, like, conscious thing.
The number one reason.
Yeah. So I started playing piano as a kid. Like, we just had an organ downstairs, and I was just, like, experimenting with it. And my dad had a guitar with a slide, and I would just, like, sit there for hours just, like, playing with the slide, making funny noises, and I thought it sounded great. It was probably awful, but you know, I got a drum set when I was like 11 or something, and I just like played and played and played, and I had no idea what I was doing. And eventually, I think it just started turning into beats and music. And
mm-hmm. Band wouldn't have happened if there wasn't an upright bass just lying in our house, because we all moved together because it was a perfect circumstance that we all were looking at a place at the same time. And then our roommate had rented an upright bass, and she was learning how to play. And Brendan and I, as we often did, were staying up all night drinking and jamming. And the bass was there, and I picked it up and played on it, and we ended up playing for hours and hours and hours.
And his fingers got really bloody and gross.
Yeah, lots of blisters to fight through.
Does that stop after a while? Like,
they toughen up to the point where there's nothing there no more.
Yeah.
They're just pieces of rubber basically now.
What are some of the lessons that you've gotten from touring and traveling as much as you do?
I think being a musician, like touring musician, has like turned me into a better human, because you're always like networking with people from all over the place, and like being supported in different art communities.
Yeah.
And like they're supporting your livelihood, and it just becomes like it's a fantastic thing. So yeah.
Do you guys find that you also like that people get on your nerves? Like that you've had to overcome that as well, just because, I mean, I don't know, because you're human and you're in a van all day or wherever you're going.
Oh, you mean each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually had to talk about this yesterday about like what was our most like dramatic tour stories. And these guys don't have really any super dramatic tour stories.
I have dramatic tour stories that these guys have heard, but that you haven't heard. But I don't know.
They're very civilized.
Just
humans.
Okay, real quick. We'll go around with one quick dramatic tour story. And then I'll let you guys leave since you have to perform a show in just a little while.
Mine ended up with someone defecating in a sweater.
And the cops being called in the middle of somewhere in Ontario.
What, in the show or on stage?
No, it was like a backstage like brawl thing.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, you know, after 3 months or 4 months in a van with a bunch of people, and like, especially we were touring in PEI, and in PEI, like they give you like potato moonshine.
Oh, yeah, that could get you into trouble.
And so it was like a lot of potato moonshine, a lot of like late night drives, and just everybody.
Whereas in Colorado, are they giving you big bags of other things?
We're from BC, so we do see,
seen that before.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like home.
How about you? And now we're talking to Jen.
This band now doesn't have very much drama, but my last band that I've been in, like my last couple bands that I've been in, have had a lot of drama. And the worst time, I just came into this band, and literally everyone else in the band hated each other.
Oh, no.
And they not only did they hate, like, oh, like everyone hated each other for different reasons. And so, and they would come to me and argue about it, how much they hated this person or this person. And I was just kind of this neutral person in the middle. But there was one point when the drummer of the band and the backup singer got into this huge, huge fight. And it involved, they were screaming and screaming, and then finally they just lost words and they started like barking at each other like dogs, like, and then hot tea and faces and like really like pretty intense fighting, but there's none of that in this band. It's pretty
nice. I've been mad, but I don't think I've ever just started barking.
Yeah,
I
know.
It's a good way to get across a very simple very point. Primitive. You know, it's kind of it's like fight or flight. Okay, we understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
That's great. How about you? Do you have a tour story?
Nathan and I used to play in a band, and we were setting up one time, and we were playing at a punk house.
Nice.
So kind of really nice, like, you know, just totally grotty, like the, you know, the drywall was falling off the walls, there was graffiti everywhere, cigarette butts, and like, it wasn't a high class show, but it was fun. There was going to be a bunch of kids there, everybody was partying, and we were getting paid in a couple flats of beer, as you would at a punk house. And so we were setting up and drinking a couple beers, and Nathan and our old lead singer Jasper got into a disagreement about, you know, whose can was whose.
real important stuff.
You know, bear in mind that there's, you know, probably 40, you know, like, so, extra ones, yeah, all for free. But for some reason, you know, it just kind of escalated. And then, you know, someone was, you know, Jasper was on the mic, you know, insulting Nathan. And Nathan just came in and just rugby tackled him into the console. And it just devolved into a little wrestling match. But it was, I was like taken aback, but I, you know, watching two kind of scrawny musicians fight is not exactly UFC.
But. Well, a little bit of alcohol sometimes, you know, can make things
there
get
was barely any alcohol at that point.
No excuse.
Fueled anger at that point.
Right, no excuses.
Underlying issues may be the cause.
Right.
But it was a great show after that, you know.
I bet. Gives a little energy to the situation. And I'm here with Red Haven, Jennifer Charters, Brendan Steele, Nathan Turner, and Blake McCandless. And if you didn't catch them in Paonia, or even if you did, you can check them out in Ridgeway on July 7th, Thursday, July 7th. Happy to have you here and look forward to your show, you guys.
Thanks a lot for
having
us.
And we're going to go out with one more song. This song is called Sticky Fist.
I can't contain my childlike state, 'cause I've got candy corn, it curls my corner lips, twist my stomach tight, I clench with sticky fists, and I'm in the world of flesh and curls. To play in dirt and mud and I'll obey. Climb a sturdy tree and wipe me up when I bleed. And oh, this light, stars and sky, the sky. You really want to come down, come back. Shake the keys and drown. And bleed and soak me in uncertainty. I'll pass out on your knee, just stroke my hair until I sleep. And oh, this light, stars, their sky. You don't really want to come down, come back. Shake kids and drown the night. And oh,
contain my childlike state. 'Cause I've got candy corn, it curls my corner lips. Squeeze my stomach tight, I clench with sticky fists. And oh, it's like stars, this sky You don't really wanna come now, come back. Shake the kids and drown.